Grace to you and peace from God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They say you dream less as you get older. I guess that's true for me. In younger days, I dreamt a lot. Now, I don't really recall hardly any dreams. Of course, night dreams aren't the only ones we have. Dreams are a common metaphor for daylight imagining, fantasies, and hopes. As often as not, our daytime dreaming is trivial, if not utterly worthless. But here and there, a daytime dream is nothing less than profound. I should note that today is actually Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. To remember him is to remember a man with an unforgettable dream, a daydream of a time when black and white children would play together happily without even noticing any differences, of a time when men and women would judge one another on the basis of their character, not their color. Maybe the same word is used both for nighttime and daytime dreaming, because in both cases, these dreams tend to have a common trait of what is not. So the surreal dreams of night contrast with hard reality. And sadly, even a dream as noble as King's dream runs into the face of a reality that is very different, especially after the tensions of this past year. Yet while dreams seem largely to be about what is not, there can be something more. There's another sort of dream, one that is more than hopes or the tricks our minds play in the night. Almost two decades ago, a man named Nam walked into our church in New Jersey. He was there because of a dream. Nam, a former South Vietnamese Army officer, had been arrested, tortured, and then imprisoned after the U.S. left Vietnam. He languished in a North Vietnamese prison for over a decade, hearing not once from his wife, not a word about the young son he had left behind. He slaved in a rock quarry, living on two hands full of rice every day. And eventually he lost all hope. He came on what he thought was his only solution, to throw himself off of one of the cliffs of the quarry. It was nothing less than a kind of enlightenment for him to draw that conclusion. Nam was a Buddhist, and the Buddha himself had said, "Accept the things to which fate binds you." So he fell asleep that night with the comfort that he would end his misery in the morning. But he had a dream, a simple dream of a seashore. And there, somehow, stood Jesus and said that he should not kill himself. That's all there was to it. But he awoke the next morning and he didn't kill himself. He survived his imprisonment. He was finally reunited with his wife and son, and they escaped with many other boat people, first to the Philippines, and then finally were granted asylum in the U.S., and they settled in Camden, New Jersey, and Nam walked into our church. Whatever it was, that dream cannot be characterized as a dream about what is not. And so also with so many biblical dreams, from the dreams of Joseph in the Old Testament to those of the New Testament Joseph and the wise men that we just heard over Christmas and Epiphany. And today we hear of Jacob's dream. It is surreal, angels ascending and descending from heaven, the Lord himself standing at the doorway of heaven's heights. But this dream also is more than what is not. Jacob doesn't wake up, stretch, and say, "That was weird." No. That very spot, on that very spot, he builds an altar. And speaking of that spot, which Jacob names Bethel, house of God, Christian commentators have thought through the ages about where it was exactly. Many have identified it as the place of Mount Zion. Luther considered that, but then provided an alternative, that the spot was perhaps Mount Calvary. Yet he did so modestly, saying only that it was a godly thought. He wouldn't debate it. Rather, Luther says this. I leave that to the grammarians. It is sufficient for us to know that Jacob was strengthened here in his faith in the promise, that here he saw the same Lord God, heard the same word, and in his dream saw the same church he had heard and seen at home. Yet he is alone here, and besides him there is no one else, in order that we may learn that God's church is where God's word resounds, whether it's in the middle of Turkey, in the papacy, or in hell. That true dream strengthened Jacob in his loneliness and exile. That the Lord was there in the wilderness in a time of terror, in a time of exile from home, family, from everything familiar. That was the promise that sustained Jacob. That the Lord was there that day and promised to continue to be with him, gave him the strength to leave that holy place and to go to the next place and the next one after that, where the Lord was leading. The promising presence of the Lord gave him courage to go forth. For the Lord's assurance was not just for that day or that place or even just for Jacob. No, in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So that is the promise for us to hold dear. It is no daydream, no fantasy, not at all about what is not, not at all a mere human wish for what might be. Rather, it is a dream bursting with what is now and ever shall be, a dream bursting with the presence of God in the midst of a broken world, a world where one brother is fleeing another's murderous hate, where so many feel every bit as alone as Jacob did that day, where race divides, where mistrust abounds, where terror strikes cities and villages, and most of all, our very hearts. A world where death awaits and lays its claim one by one on each of us. Yes, for Jacob, for each of us, for this seminary, for the people we serve or will serve, God stands present in the midst of our broken lives. So Jesus replies to Nathanael's confession that he is the Son of God and King of Israel. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. It baffles us that God would be present among us with all our brokenness and misery, yet strangely, though it may baffle, it is not at all mysterious. For God in Christ cemented his promise as he lived our lives, suffered our sorrow, and died our death. Indeed, the angels ascend and descend upon him who is the door, not only to the sheepfold, but to heaven itself. And ever after, God has corroborated this promise from sermon to psalm to sacrament, using the voices of his holy preachers and his holy priests to speak peace and the forgiveness of sins to the lives of people in a broken world. When Nam came to our church, he was sincere, but also uncertain. There'd been no more dreams, only that one. And what did it mean? He thought he wanted to be a Christian, but what did that mean? He'd heard of baptism, but what did that mean? It was one of the greatest joys of my ministry to catechize Nam, to share with him the simple clarity of God's word and promises, a clarity that answers the very human, ever-repeated question, what does it mean? Nam never repudiated that dream. Why should he? But neither did he ever cling to it for his certainty. No, in the Word, he found certainty and clarity with all the rest of us. It was in the Word that Nam, like each one of us, heard God speaking in total truth and purity. How much God has used dreams and other mysteries, and we praise him for it. Nevertheless, Luther would say this: it is God's word which establishes the church. He's the Lord over all places, Wherever that word is heard, where baptism, the sacrament of the altar, and absolution are administered, there you must determine and conclude with certainty, this is surely God's house. Here heaven has been opened. But just as the word is not bound to any place, so the church is not bound to any place. One should not say the chief pontiff is at Rome, therefore the church is there. But where God speaks, where Jacob's ladder is, where the angels ascend and descend, there the church is, there the kingdom of heaven is opened. So hold this fast, knowing that as you too one day preach and teach and administer God's holy gifts, no matter where, there the kingdom of heaven is opened. Whether in a pulpit, on a city street, in a suburban sanctuary, around a kitchen table, at a hospital bedside, in a prison, wherever it is, there too is Jacob's ladder. There too the angels ascend and descend. There too the kingdom of heaven is opened. For there God speaks with all his grace and mercy. Amen.